The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 10th day of December 2024. And tonight, my co-host and board hop, well, he's the Lord of the Board, is none other than Stiles. Hey, Stiles.
Hey, Pastor. How are you?
We're ready to roll tonight. Okay. So now, this message we had was a very interesting one. The title was Before There Was Anything, There Was Everything. And we're taking a look at the pre-existing God. And so we started in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So we talked about that. Now, here, we look at, but we couldn't establish in any known way where there was a beginning here. Because as we go to Hebrews 7, we'll see that God had no beginning and had no end. And so the beginning here is simply an acknowledgement that from time forever, okay, for everlasting, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit were together as one. Now, when we went over to Genesis chapter 1, and we read, In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, well, there we saw the beginning was the beginning of creation. And then when we went over to Revelation, in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, it was an interesting thing because here in verse 8 we read, I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, Almighty. Well, we see that that was Christ's relationship to mankind on earth from start to finish. And then, if we go over to Hebrews chapter 7 now, we read in verses 1 through 3, For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, the priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth of part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is the king of peace, without father, without mother, without a descent, having neither a beginning of days or the end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Well, we see here that going back to the John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, in the very first chapter, the Lord Jesus has 12 different names. They've got 12 different names for him there alone. It starts out with calling him He was the Logos, the Word. He was the Light, the only begotten of the Father. He was Jesus the Christ. He was the Lord, the Lamb of God. He's Master, King of Israel, Son of God, Son of Man, Jesus of Nazareth, Messiah, and the Word of God. And so you had all of these here just in one chapter. Well, here now, as we take a look at this mysterious man, this Melchizedek, we find out that he was none other than a Christophany, the Lord Jesus appearing before you had any law, before there was Levitical priesthood. Here he was in the same type of office as he is today with us. He was the high priest, the only intercessor between God and man, and today, again, he is the high priest, the only intercessor between God and man. Okay, so he was referred to there as Melchizedek, which means the King of Righteousness, and today he's referred to as the Christ. And so here we see that, but now here we also see that he had no beginning or no end. So when God is pre-existent, that means he exists before time. Then we talked about that yesterday. We went into quite a bit of discussion on the fact that here, on the definition of what time was. Now, in Revelation chapter 1, we read, again, I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which was, and which is to come. Okay, again, so now we see here, this is definitely, if you read, starting with verse 1, God's, the Lord's relationship to mankind from the beginning to end. Now, we're going to pick it up tonight as we go over to Isaiah 55. And we're going to take a look at how can this be? You know, it's a little bit hard to wrap your head around. Can you wrap your head around this, Dial?
I'm trying.
Okay, so here, if we go to Isaiah 55, and we read, starting with verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now let me ask you this. How much higher are the heavens? Now we're talking about heavens, meaning all three, than the earth.
I'd say quite a bit.
Well, it can't. First of all, where is the end of space?
At the end of time?
I don't know. You see, nobody knows where the end of, if space has an end. I mean, then there's got to be something behind it, right?
Right.
Or maybe not. Maybe when you get to a certain point, you run into a dimension, and you simply start from where you begin. I don't know. It's again, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways higher than my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that may give need, may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the doing whereunto I send it. Now, how capable is God of making his word achieve exactly what he wants it to achieve?
I'd say all capable, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's why it doesn't return void. For you shall go out with joy. Now here, this gives you kind of a hint on the period that he's talking about here. the period of time, or should we say the dispensation here. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you unto singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up a fir tree, and instead of the fir tree, the briar tree, shall come up a myrtle tree. And you shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. So what period of time do you think he is referring to here?
I'm not sure.
It would be the millennial kingdom, what is called the golden age. So, as we see here where he says his thoughts are not your thoughts, so the question is God's intellect. Does God's intellect have any limitations?
No.
So, it's unlimited, his intellect. You heard of that fellow called Einstein, Albert Einstein?
Yeah, I might have heard of him once or twice.
Well, one time he said something to this effect. He said, God has no theories. He has no need to theorize. What do you think he meant by that?
Because he's all-knowing.
So he knew the answer to the question even before the question was asked, huh?
Right.
So here... And Einstein knew that. See, a lot of people thought Einstein was an atheist, but he wasn't. What do you think he would be one because of his background who would really believe in God?
Well, I think if anyone, and it's a simple concept, but I think if anyone would understand that all things created need a creator, it'd be him, right?
Absolutely. And he would realize that the mathematical odds for having a creation without a creator are zip and zero, huh?
Right.
And so, all right, we're moving on from here. Let's go over now to Psalms 103. And Psalms 103, and we'll be there in a minute. We read, starting with verse 11 all the way through 22. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Now let me ask you a question. If you head off and you start heading east, right? When will you run out of east and when does he turn into west?
That's a good question.
Okay. It doesn't. You'll continue to go east. So there is actually no limit to that, right?
No end of east and start of west.
Right. And so he goes on, as far as the east is from the west, so hath he removed our transgressions from us. So the question is, there's no limit to the transgressions that he has removed from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he know our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for a man, his days are grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. Why do you think that is? Why do you think our days are so limited? He tells you in James chapter 4 that our life is like a vapor that appears, but just for an instant, and then we're gone. Now, that is our lifespan compared to time.
Well, it's because we're told our time on this earth is limited, right? It's temporary.
Yeah, but there's a reason that it is. It's the curse. The curse that was given to Adam. Were Adam and Eve was the intention? Were they made to live forever?
Originally.
Had they not sinned, would they live forever?
Yes.
There you go. And boy, would this earth be populated by thou.
Yeah.
And so here, he goes on and he says, for as man, his days are as grass, the flower of the field, so it flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children of children, to such as keep the covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. So there's, the Bible speaks of three heavens, doesn't it? You know where the three heavens are? The first heaven is the sky, up there where the airplanes and the birds fly. I've been up there. Have you ever been up there?
I have not.
Well, okay. Someday we'll take you. Okay, the second one is out there where the sun and the moon and the stars and all that are at. Okay.
Have you ever been there?
I don't know. Sometimes I think maybe I've been. Well, I watched in that movie there where It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
Where Jimmy Stewart was going to lasso the moon. And that would have been, I thought, how could he do it? But anyhow. But then the third heaven is the one it's referring to. That's where the throne of God is. And it kind of gives you a little bit of hint, the stairway to the east, okay, on the sides of the north. That's where the third heaven is, where God's at. Okay, so here he goes on to say, that's where God has made his kingdom. Bless the Lord, you, his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearken unto him, unto the voice of his word. So here's the question, see, he's asking here, or he's making a statement. And the statement is, are God's angels always capable of carrying out whatever he demands of them? Can they accomplish any command that God gives them?
So long as it's his will, right?
Well, God always prepares, he always equips his people to do what he wants, okay? So when he commands his angels to do something, they've already been given the power to do it. And so it's like what it says there in Matthew 16, what you bind in heaven will be bound on earth, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What he's telling you is that it's already been decided in heaven what you're going to bind and what you're going to loose. It's already been decided. And so it's going to happen. It's going to take place. So now here, when his angels are commanded to do something, it's already a done deal. It's going to happen. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord and all his works and all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So, there you go. Boy, that was interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Now, we got someplace else to go. We're going to go over to Hebrews chapter 1. And in Hebrews chapter 1, we read, starting... Nope, I'm in the wrong place. I'll get it here in a minute. Okay, there now. Hebrews chapter 1. The entire chapter we're going to read here. God, who at sundry times in a diverse manner spake unto in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Okay, so here now, in times past, you had foretellers. What do you have today?
I'm not sure.
You have forth tellers because we have the completed canon of Scripture. And so today we have prophets And I'm prophesying right now. It's the completed canon of scriptures. How do we know that? Because let's read the next verse. He says, hath in these last days, he's talking about the church age, the sixth dispensation period, spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So he's talking about here about Christ being the creator also, but he's saying that today when we prophesy by this here, by the word of God, by the complete canon of scripture here. And in Matthew 24:35, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will, what? Never pass away. Who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Okay, so now here, going back to God at sundry times spoke in diverse manners. What were some of the manners that God spoke to people in times past?
I mean, he's taken different forms, right?
Well, he spoke to the prophets. Do you remember Moses at the burning bush?
Right.
Moses had a conversation with a bush, didn't he?
Right.
And that bush said, take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. Okay. And then Samson's parents, when they had kindled a fire, who spoke to him out of the fire?
At the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And so here in Isaiah, or when Job, in the book of Job, and God was speaking to him out of a whirlwind. And here, so those are some ways. Now, you had this fellow named Balaam, and things didn't end too well with him. I mean, he was kind of a hard-headed guy, didn't like to listen, but God spoke to him through a jackass, didn't he?
That's true.
And he would have been better if he'd listened, huh?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yep. And so here now, he goes on, and he says, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem. Christ was the creator. He was in the beginning with the Father. We just read he was pre-existent, had no beginning and no end. And so how was he made? Because we know that everything that was created, the Bible tells us that God had created everything. Then how was Christ made?
Is it a similar fashion as how Jesus was created, was placed in Mary's womb?
Right. It's when he became man. The answer there is in John chapter 1, verse 14, huh? So here it's when he became man, okay? And so now he created so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained more excellent name than they. Now, let me ask you this. Who is going to judge the angels?
Christ, right?
Well, if we turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it talks about some folks in there that we know, okay? You see, he goes over here in 1 Corinthians. I'll get there in just a minute. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world should be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know you not that you shall judge angels? How much more the things that pertain to this life? So, who are the saints?
The children of God, right?
So it's just not that football team out there then.
No, I'm a New Orleans fan, but now I think they're the ones judging.
Right. It's born again believers. We're the saints. And so at some point we would judge angels. But now, in our present form, are we made higher or lower than angels in our present form?
We're lower in our present, right?
You're not kidding. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten unto the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. I'm going to stop there and pick it up there tomorrow, okay? And so we'll be back right after this. You play a mean guitar style. You play a mean one. Anyhow, here we go. Guess what's happening?
What's happening?
This Friday at 1 p.m., missionaries to the preborn from Doers of the Word Baptist Church will be out there at 12,000 Shaker Boulevard. Do you know what's out there at 12,000 Shaker Boulevard?
Tell me.
Preterm, the biggest abortion mill in Ohio. It's a whorehouse of death and destruction and pain and killing. Now, there used to be an abortion mill on Blood Alley there on all four corners, but we've knocked three of the four of them out. In fact, actually, another one come in, so actually we've knocked four out of the five. There were one in all corners, and then we knocked three of them out, one came back, we knocked it out. And now you still have preterm, but it's the biggest abortion mill in Ohio. And they were, I made them move off of where they were when they were over on University Circle. I run them out of there. But anyhow, this coming, well, there's people out there during the week, but our church goes out there, and our people will be out there on this Friday at 1 p.m. So they could use some help. They could use, cause it's probably going to be cold and snowing or whatever. But just the presence out there, just as they stand out there and the witness to the people. We've had many babies saved. I did it for 45 years, several times a week. I'd be out there on the streets, but I don't go out there anymore. I'm doing it on a reaching more people in a different venue. And so, anyhow, and then also this Friday on this Friday the 13th, Tactical Civics is having its meeting at Bob Evans in Chardon. Now, corrupt government, media, big tech, and foreign enemies have used machines and corrupt big city minions to falsify elections for decades. Corrupt judges and lawyers have been overthrowing our Constitution, civilization, and the rule of law. These corrupt forces enslave productive Americans, demonize and intimidate Christian patriots and Caucasians, and they erase all culture, open the floodgates of all illegal alien cheap labor, ensure votes, and outlaw truth and constitutional restraints to turn the new world into another Europe. The hijacking began, during the war for the Reconstruction, and it's followed, folks. And anyhow, no state can deny or abolish the grand jury, but they've done that. They've tried that. Not according to our Constitution, you can't. But this way we have to reinstate the grand jury, the people's grand jury, the way that we had it in the beginning, folks. And that's what they're working, and they're growing and growing and growing. Again, that's Tactical Civics. They're a major reason for the results of the election. One of the major reasons is Tactical Civics. Right now, they take it back county by county. And right now, I think there's like 3,200 counties in the United States, and they're in over 2,000 of them now. So the work is working. Anyhow, Carville, you know who Carville is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, he says that he now realizes he has Trump derangement syndrome. He said he's got it. He's caught it. And he's blaming the Democratic Communist Party, the leadership in the party, for the election results. You know, as hard as they try, I mean, all of the election fraud that they used, and they still couldn't win, okay? And that was the saying, too big to rig.
Right.
And that's exactly what we had to do. It was too big to rig. And Carville blames DEI and woke for a lot of that. And those idiots that brought that to them in the beginning. And then, you know, more and more evidence have come out again. More and more whistleblowers have come out talking about the Darien Gap. We still have 300,000 missing children now. And guess where all the evidence, who has been telling you this? Who has been telling you this for years now? The federal government, these human traffickers have been turning these children, turning these people over to our feds, the federal government, who turns around and sells them to these NGOs. And these kids have been they're abused, they're raped, they're molested, and killed. And that's happening. And we keep telling people about it. And the more we tell people about it, the harder it's getting for them. And I know that there are special teams being put together to go after these. And this is why they are so paranoid. This is why all the chatter has out there that Trump must be stopped at all cost, because there's too many are going to go down. And people like Mariakas and Fauci and these others that are responsible for the deaths, of mass amounts of people, they are paranoid. They know that that little smirk will be wiped off Mariarcus's face, huh?
Oh, yeah, we're going to hopefully within the first 100 days here see a lot of these smirks wiped off a lot of faces when Trump goes after all the different lists.
Yeah, well, they're saying he will be stopped. They are going to stop. I mean, this is what all the chatter is out there. And so here, now, you know, Matt Gaetz, when he resigned from Congress, but he's got a new job now. So they may, he may be doing the rhinos in Congress and the communists a lot more harm now in his new job. Because do you know what his new job is?
He's going to be a news analyst, right?
That's right. He's going to be doing kind of what we're doing here. But he's probably not going to be bringing the most important part of a news. And that is God's Word, the Bible, huh?
Probably not.
Yeah.
But that's why people listen right here, right?
That's it. That's the reason. And so he's going to be coming on daily at 9 p.m. Now, Trump says that he is going to restore he's going to restore all those statues that the communists tore down. Those of Andrew Jackson and, let's see, they went after George Washington,
Abe Lincoln,
Thomas Jefferson, yeah. And Trump says he's going to restore all of those. I think that's a great idea. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can't just pretend history didn't happen, right?
Yeah. Well, that will be very, very interesting to see how, because, you know, a lot of those statues would be right downtown in the capitals of many of these states. And, you know, there's some very, very interesting things out there.
It's a good 180 seeing Trump talking about bringing these statues back of these presidents and historical figures, while under Joe Biden we had statues of George Floyd erected.
Yeah. Now, Biden is out there taking bows and saying how the proof is, it's all come out, how he improved the economy, how under him America had the best economy it ever had. Now, guess who disagreed with him?
I mean, I think all the American people would.
Yeah, that's why when he says the economy was better than ever, boy, a whole lot of people say, no, the economy wasn't better than ever. We weren't spending $4 for a dozen of eggs, Biden. And he was talking about how, you know, since he's been in under his leadership, he's taking credit now for the removal of Assad in Syria.
Well, you know, a little earlier in the show, you brought up Einstein's name, and you don't have to be Einstein. There shouldn't be any kind of statistical data or scientific proof you need to pour through to find out the state of the economy that you're living in. If you can afford gas one year and can't the next, that's all the proof you need, right?
Yeah. Yeah, more than gas, it's food.
Cost of
food
living.
Food is what people are really complaining about. You know, it's it comes down to food or gas. Guess where they go?
Right.
And with many of them, that's what they've had a choice. That's been their choice. They've had to because of the economy. But if you look at Biden's record, what was his record? How did he do in Afghanistan?
Well, according to Kamala Harris, we have no active duty soldiers anywhere but the U.S.
Yeah, Kamala. The borders are. Speaking of the borders, how did he do when it comes to securing our borders? Remember, Mariarcus said our borders are completely secure.
Sure seems like it.
Yeah. Only 20 million people slipped through, right?
That's all, yeah.
And so he didn't do too good in Afghanistan. He didn't do too good in the border. I know. Let's take a look at Ukraine. How's that working out for him?
Oh, Ukraine made a lot of money. That's how that worked.
Yeah. I think Joe Biden may be hallucinating. What do you think?
Well, you didn't ask him the hard questions, Pastor. You got to ask him the hard-hitting stuff, like, what's your favorite ice cream?
Yeah. I think he once said it was chocolate chip.
Sounds about right.
Yep. And so, anyhow, well, he did do something pretty remarkable just recently in Africa that, you know, that no other American president has done.
Are you talking about when he fell asleep or when he got lost?
He fell asleep during the dinner.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyhow, well, you know, look, you can't really hold that against us old timers. We get tired and we need to take a nap, you know. You know, there's times, though, where you don't do that, like when you're driving your car or you're flying an airplane or even when you do a radio talk show, it's best if you don't fall asleep.
Well, I heard it can be pretty exhausting giving away billions of another country's money. It might have taken a lot out of him.
Well, you know, it did. And because of that, he's had to try to regroup some of that. So to regain some of that money, he's selling pardons. And now he's only selling these pardons so those people can afford to buy a pardon. You know, Fauci's made hundreds of millions of dollars killing people. We're coming upon that five-year time, at the end of that five-year period, where so many of these scientists have said it's going to really, they're going to hit all at once. You're going to have mass amounts of people dying, those that have taken the kill shot. They said they're going to be mass amounts. That's the latest report. Now, we've reported on this many, many times. But we'll see what happens. I kind of feel they're right. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of gray area in general. We talked about it during, you know, all the shots being rolled out and the boosters being rolled out and all that you had three different companies with three different formulas, and some of them were placebo, and they're targeting certain areas. So I think they're going to try and spin it a lot of different ways with this. When people start dropping dead, you know, in coming months, unfortunately, because of these vaccines, they're going to look at those numbers of targeted areas and go, oh, look, over here is not, so it can't be the vaccine.
Well, actually, you had six different levels of those so-called vaccines. Where it comes to toxicity, six different levels of toxicity out there. Anyhow, here, you know, Trump, when Trump told Trudeau, when he told him about that 25% tariff, and he told him that he could make him governor of Canada, and Canada could become the 51st state. Do you know who would really profit? Do you know who would just love to have Canada become part of the United States?
Who's that?
The people in America and the people in Canada.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be like it was before when we could go back and forth and without having to have a visa or passport to go up. Look, you know, they're pretty much the same, except for that government up there is so corrupt, and I'm sure, especially now, the vast majority of the people in Canada wish they had our government. They wish they would be under us. And we have some very, very strong, good patriots there in Canada. And so I think both countries would definitely benefit.
Well, I think, too, yeah, I know it was kind of a lighthearted jab, but if you look at it in a realistic sense, I think it'd greatly benefit us, and I'm sure the liberals would probably hate the fact that we wouldn't have to rely on the Middle East so much for oil. Canada's very rich in oil, and I think that'd even help us further lowering the price of it or the inflation in the country.
Yeah.
It might be the only time in history a country has expanded by nearly double the size and inflation has decreased.
You're absolutely right. And I mean, just take a look at the... There's another thing we have to look at, and this is very important, because Nancy Pelosi, she is bragging now. She is standing... Remember when she stood up and she defied President Trump and tore up his speech?
I was going to say she ripped up a speech behind him.
Yeah. Now, guess what she's doing? She's defying... her Archbishop Salvatore Cordelon. And Archbishop Cordelon said to her, "You cannot take communion. You are not worthy to take communion. You're an unrepentant old sinner." And Nancy is bragging how, just like she defied Trump, she's defying this Pope, and she's been taking communion. Now, let me ask you a question. Who is she mocking? Is she mocking Salvatore, or is she mocking God?
Seems like she's mocking God.
Yeah, because, first of all, she's unclean. God's Word, the Bible, makes it very, very clear that she's unclean. Okay, she's pro-abortion. All of the things that what she has done, the pro-homosexual, that makes her, according to God's Word, the Bible, an unclean individual. And she's unrepentant. She's an unrepentant individual. So Nancy is mocking God, and now she's come out and she's bragging that she doesn't have to listen to anybody in the Catholic Church either. And so, but now there's some good news, too. Did you know that here, since Roe v. Wade went down, 29 bloody abortion mills have closed?
Look at that.
Yeah, 29. Now there are 14 states that have no abortion mills. 14 states. That is good. We have to try to make, we've got to make Ohio one of them, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
We've got to do that. Anyhow, I had some other news. Pete Hegseth. Why do you think they're giving Pete Hegseth so much trouble?
It seems they're really grasping at straws with this one.
Yeah, but there's a reason. There's a reason, because it's coming from the Senate, and he's too real for them. I mean, he is going to see. You have these people like to do things very slowly, okay, and methodically. These people in the Senate, they really think a lot of themselves. I mean, I hate to say that, but that's the mindset you have of some of the elite. And Pete says, look, he wants to actually get in there and do the job. He wants to really do the job. So he's too real. He's too real for most of these people, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I made the argument, I believe, last week on the show that one of the big reasons that a lot of people were pro-Trump in his first election was the fact that he wasn't a politician. He wasn't bought out by any corporation or party or anything like that, and he was just an American citizen who wanted to do what was best for America. I think that the majority of his cabinet coming into this next election or this next presidential cycle is a lot of the same thing. Just like Pete Hegseth, he's not a politician by book. He just wants to do what he knows is right for the country. And of course, the machine is going to hate him for it.
Yeah, they do. But it's, you know, you would expect the Democrats. The Democrats are going to have to do it just because they're Democrats, right? They're going to have to try to go after him. But, I mean, you have some real slimy people in there. But here, you have the Rhino Republicans. Those are the ones that, you know, that they sell you out. Boy, I mean, I just really have no tolerance for traitors. Do you?
No, I mean, this is why I've been very open and honest about the fact that I don't, you know, support Republican or Democrat mindset, purely because what's stopping you from losing an election as one and running as the other? It's been done before, and that's where you get the term rhino from, is these people who have invaded the other side of the aisle. Now, it's fine to be a conservative, but I don't sit here and condone Republican, because we weren't supposed to be a two-party system anyway. The country was founded to not be.
Well, the Republican plank was a good plank. Okay, although they've started going soft on the number one issue with God, and that's the killing of the children.
Right.
And we got to bring that back. But it looks like God is working despite the Republicans, isn't he?
Absolutely.
So you have, do you know who Jennifer Lopez is?
I have heard of Jennifer Lopez, yes.
Right. Well, you know, you've heard of this guy called Diddy?
Yes, I have.
And someone called Jay-Z.
Jay-Z?
Yeah, Jay-Z, yeah. Well, anyhow, Diddy and Jay-Z were seen having sex with a 13-year-old girl.
It doesn't surprise me at all at this point, unfortunately.
Well, they're being charged with this. They're being charged with it. Now, here there are these pictures of this Jennifer Lopez with these two, okay? She's in the pictures, and here this 13-year-old girl said that there were some very well-known celebrities of women there, and they were there while she was being raped, and they were just sitting there watching and enjoying the show. And the emphasis is that it may be this Jennifer Lopez. What do you think about that?
I've been very, open about this topic. I think that it's the same thing we saw with the Epstein and Maxwell stuff. You know, Epstein, while he should have paid for all of his crimes here on Earth and should have been locked up for life, he's paying for his sins in the afterlife now. Same with Maxwell. You know, I hope she serves a long sentence, and I hope that she has the worst coming to her for her crimes. But it's the same issue with this Diddy stuff is, yeah, all of these people deserve to pay for these things they've done. Absolutely. But I mean all of them. I don't want it to be like Epstein where he just got two names that were supposedly at the top and this keeps continuing with other names that were below them. We need every name on the list.
Right now, there's tons of money being paid to hush that list up.
Exactly.
And, remember this, when that prosecutor came out, he said, these names will come out. Everybody's going to know who these people are. What do you think he was doing? Do you think he might have been sending a message out there? Everybody's going to know unless I have the incentive to keep them hushed up. What do you think?
Oh, I don't doubt that at all. You know, you hope for the best. You hope that this is genuinely someone who wants to expose these names, but it is a money game at the end of the day. And I think that's why you see people like Ellen who fled the country. It's not because Trump won. It's because Trump won and she knows that that list is at the top of his docket of things that are going to be exposed, hopefully. And I think her name is printed in ink on there, if not blood.
She went over to England and got flooded out, didn't she?
Yes, she did. I mean, when all the Epstein stuff came out, Tom Hanks fled to Greece, and no one talks about that either.
Yeah. Anyhow, this fellow Luigi Mangione?
Mangione, yeah.
Mangione, yeah. You know, he's the left has made him a real hero. The left is referring to the people that the whistleblower at McDonald's, okay, as a rat that ratted him out. Now they're making this guy out to be a hero. Maybe we'll talk about that on the reason for that. I know we're coming up to a break on the other side of the break, but now there's some reason behind why a lot of people have a lot of angst, if you will, against these healthcare facilities, these healthcare industry. And so we'll talk about that on the other side of the hour. Then we'll talk about what's taking place in Australia. Something it's kind of taking the same thing that's been taking place here. But anyhow, we're coming up to a break. And then when we come back from the break, we'll talk about that. Then we'll open the phone lines. And we'll talk about what you want to talk about. Be right back with more. Don't go away. More to come. A whole lot more to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.